Welcome to our 54th episode of the Gutenberg Changelog podcast. We're recording this on October 29th in 2021. In today's episode, we will talk about Gutenberg 11.8, navigation block, full site editing, and the plugin machine. I'm Birgit Pauli-Ha, curator at the Gutenberg Times and developer advocate for WordPress at Automattic. And I'm here with my co-host, co-worker, fellow European and friend, Jagar Stojkovski, JavaScript developer at Automattic and WordPress core contributor. Howdy, howdy, Jagos. How are you doing today?
Howdy, howdy, Birgit. I'm great. Today, oh, that's a good way to begin that. Today, I met my coworkers from Poland. We met in Wrocław in a co-working space. That was really nice to meet them again about, I guess, 2 years.
Yeah.
That's a lot of time and a lot of has changed. So we had spent a lot of time catching up and meet some new co-workers. So very exciting. And yeah, and I'm ready to talk about what's happening in the Gutenberg world. And how are you today, Birgit?
Well, I'm excited. My new Pixel 6 Pro phone will be delivered this weekend, and I'm looking forward to sunsetting my old phone that's from 2018. And it seems like it's too long, although it's only 4 years, right? Yeah. So I will plan to test the new camera features over the weekend, and it's a good excuse to get out on a photo tour downtown or around town. Yeah. Nice. So. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to see some footage from your walks in Florida.
Yeah, so maybe I need to start a little photo blog and not put them all on Instagram. Yeah,
we'll that's see. A good way to use Gutenberg and create a gallery using the gallery block that's going to be in using inner blocks.
Right. Yeah, but it's still not as easy. And I like WordPress to be as easy as Instagram, but it's not yet with the photos. So maybe I should switch team.
Yeah, maybe to the mobile team that's working on the Gutenberg app, and they have some features that will help with that in the future. I hope so.
I will try that out, definitely. Yeah. So we have a few announcements that theme.json and block.json are now available through the schemastore.org. And you can add the location, the URL of the schema on the top of your JSON file. And then your code editor supports this with suggestions for the keys and values. You don't have to look up exact syntax and can avoid missing commas and end quotes. Jagos, and Markus are working on the canonical version for the Gutenberg repo to integrate. So how does that work?
So we are still discussing how to approach that because at the moment we are using an external project that has a URL that could change one day for whatever reason. And in WordPress world, we prefer to have control over everything. Also, if we have it stored locally, then we will be able to integrate that in the process. So when there is a change in the core block, we can validate that and ensure that it's always up to date. And we already caught a few issues with existing blocks, which is a good testament that the tooling is really solid. And yeah, so probably one of the ways we could approach that, and Markus discovered that Microsoft is using this approach, that we could just create a redirect to an URL that would be like something in the wp.org domain. I don't know, it's something that we will find out. But I'm really excited about that because this will help a lot, especially with the theme.json, which is a huge file to maintain. And it also shows hints. So if you provide, there are descriptions. So it explains what the given property is about, what values are available there. So also people will be able to contribute to that and improve the hints. So this is really exciting.
Yeah, so I'm glad we talked about this here. quite there early in the process. So whoever, if you want to use it more and you want to contribute, yeah, Jagosz and Marcus are the person to contact.
Yeah, so just to be clear, so the credit should go to Alex Lende from Automatic. He originally submitted the first version of schema for theme JSON file, and then the follow-up was for the blog JSON. So great work on that, and the idea was excellent.
Yeah, Alex Lander is also the developer who did the whole duotone feature, right?
Yes, yeah. That's him.
Okay, so, but WordPress 5.9 is coming up fast. Feature freeze is November 9th. That's less than 2 weeks, ooh. And Gutenberg 11.9, which is the same date, 11.9, November 11, yeah,
11.9. Oh, what a coincidence.
Will be the last version with features to get into core. The release candidate has been rescheduled for the plugin, has been rescheduled for the November 5th instead of November 3rd. But the final release will be after feature freeze on November 10th. But the release candidate is the version that will get into core for the first feature freeze kind of. Then between November 5th and 9th, the team will be working on merging all the packages and code with core for the 5.9 release. Are you going to do it before that, like a dry run too, or you're just gonna use this, the whole thing in one swoop into core?
So I don't know about this one. I didn't follow that so closely because I'm working on another project. I'm working on new version of the comments query loop block, which is going to be responsible for displaying a comments and comments form. But from my experience, it might be a few commits on the WordPress core side because it's quite complex. It's so the packages that update only JavaScript, but there is a lot of features that require PHP changes, which is more complex to, yeah, you know, to tackle. I don't know. I guess it will take a few days. Hopefully they have enough bandwidth to finish that on time. But yeah, it's also feature freeze, so it's mostly about making a cut that this is what we provide for the release, and I wouldn't be so worried if the merging is delayed a little bit, because what matters here is the date for beta 1, mm-hmm, which is November 16th, right? So right, there will be a couple of days to make sure that everything is solid enough.
Yeah, so as you said, beta November 16th, and then the final release of WordPress 5.9 will be on December 14th, 2021. All right, so we got that out of the way. If you want to start now building blocks and need kind of a rundown what all needs to be there, of course, there is a developer handbook, but Carlo Daniel from Keensta has actually published a great tutorial, building custom Gutenberg blocks, the definitive block development tutorial. And we will share the link in the show notes. He walks you through all the prerequisites and then all the tooling, and then also get into one block, an example block.
Yeah, it's a more complex block than the one that is provided in the official block development tutorial in the block editor handbook. It's also like everything is collected in one article that you can just process, and it provides a different option. So it's not that it's step by step, but you have options in every step that you can take. For instance, you can use WPN for building your WordPress local environment, but you could also use the other option that is provided. I don't remember what exactly, but I'm just giving.
Yeah, Keensta has their own local development tool, and then there is local as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Recently, the WordPress repository of the Gutenberg examples has been updated. Ryan Welcher went through all the examples and updated them to the newest APIs and make them work. I think he also have found one, a few that are a little bit more complicated than the Hello World examples. So it's definitely now another repository to go to have examples that work and you can learn from in your journey to developing Gutenberg blocks.
Yeah, so he did that most of the work he did during live streaming on Twitch, which is also recorded on his YouTube account. And it's really a great way to see the steps he does to update everything. And the nice thing about that is also that the examples use up-to-date syntax, the latest APIs, and the most correct recommendations from the Gutenberg core team. So he did exciting work, really great work there. But also he is now looking and integrating some tooling that helps developers, like code formatting, code linting. So there are now integrations with IDEs. So everything is much simpler than before. And he's even looking and integrating very basic end-to-end tests using the same tools that Gutenberg uses. So that's really helpful for someone that wants to explore block development.
Yes. Yeah. So Ryan has actually settled on Thursdays, 10:30 Eastern, which is 4:30 UTC PM, to do his Twitch live streaming and live coding session. So if you want to put this on your calendar, Thursdays at 10:30 and on Twitch, and his, we have the links in the show notes. His username is Ryan Welcher Codes, all one word. And for those who listen and want to just keep it in memory. Now, yesterday, a whole new tool popped up on my radar, and that is by Josh Pollock. It's an Electron app for plugin developers to get a head start on boilerplate. It can create plugins with blocks, editor sidebar, custom admin pages, remote updater, common actions and filters, custom content post types, local development, tests, GitHub actions, and any other things. So it's more like an all-encompassing tool. The UI for creating plugins, managing features, modifying generated files, and downloading development versions of the plugin is nearly done, he wrote on his new site. And I'm also making good progress on the CLI. I'm almost ready to start early access. That was Josh Pollock on his website. I signed up for the early access and I'm excited for Josh's new app because Josh Pollock was one of the early JavaScript educators in WordPress community together with you, Jagosh, Zach and Brian Richards at WordCamp Miami in 2018, which was in spring 2018. And Josh Pollock is also the original creator of Caldera Forms that he sold in 2020 to Ninja Forms. And that plugin will reach end of life at the end of the year. It's a shame that because it was one of the few form builders who actually offered a lot of features beyond creating forms for the end user, because other plugin developers could connect with it and create processes for the submitted form data. So Josh certainly knows what a plugin developer might be looking for. So we'll keep an eye out for this new tool that comes on the website. He also said, of course, this tool can't come for free, but it's also going to increase your or improve plugin developers' processes, so especially in agencies. So it definitely will be worth its investment.
It sounds very intriguing. I hear for the first time about that, but I believe that Josh did great work because he has all the necessary knowledge to do that, and he was one of the early adopters and educators in the space. So it's definitely someone that has credit to do this type of work. And also it sounds really interesting to have an app that you can install on your machine. I guess it will work with Mac and with Windows. And then you just install that and does all the job for you. Sounds very exciting.
Yes, it is. Yes. Also exciting, we had a very good conversation yesterday. A lot of things happened yesterday. with with Mathieu Viet, Varun Dubey, and David Cavins from the BuddyPress team when we discussed how they were converting their classic widgets to blocks and what the advantages are now and what they learned when they were using blocks. And one thing stood out, and I didn't know why I wasn't zeroing in on that, but Mathieu Viet, he mentioned that he likes programming just a little block, a one unit kind of content unit. And if you stay within your own lane, you only do what this block does, and you're not messing with everything else, like the post content or the sidebar or any other place on the WordPress. It's very isolated, but you can also focus it on it. And I think it wasn't really that clear to me until he said it, but that's the atomic nature of the blocks. And he's also said that it's so much easier now setting up a BuddyPress site for end users, because they just drag the blocks over and it just works. Yeah, and they don't have to learn short codes or widgets and all that, because I think David said that widgets are very hard for end users to grasp the concept of that and to apply it to their site building. So it was an interesting conversation. We will have the YouTube video, the recording, available in the show notes, and also some of the tools and the resources that they mentioned, how they got into it and what helped them to move forward with the blocks. Yeah, and now we come to Gutenberg 11.8.
Yes, the last one that goes into WordPress 5.9 release.
Yes, the second last.
Yes, second last.
Yeah. Vicente Canales managed the release for this version and highlights plenty of great features in the release post on the Make blog. And it had 166 PRs merged, excluding all the mobile version PRs that were released. And it had 80 enhancements. We are not going to talk 80. About all of them.
Yeah, 80. It's an impressive number. It's for real. And a lot of those enhancements are really great.
Yeah.
So we should start right away.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you probably wanted to say something. There's a lot of integration with global styles, and this project evolves so fast. And it gives a lot of power to blog developers, because you just need to provide one entry in the JSON file, and suddenly you have this feature enabled. So this way is like, now you can add spacing controls to all heading blocks, which is pretty interesting, that you can now control the margin or padding depending on your needs. So it's under the dimension section in the sidebar of your blog.
Yeah. Well, that's one that was missing for a long time, for the spacing part. I think the most used block was actually the spacer block to make up for the missing pieces there. Yeah. But now many blocks have actually the spacing controls, and blocks like the buttons block, where you have inner blocks. So you have the buttons block outside, and then you have multiple buttons inside the block. You also have a vertical margin support and the gap. So you can, and we also saw that last version in 11.7, the columns had that as well. So this is going to be rolled out also to the feature image and block and and most other blocks.
Yeah, in general, the idea is that most of the blocks that occupy the full row, they need to have some ways to declare spacing, so you don't have to use the spacer block anymore. And that's the most important change. And I think at the time of the release, we also have the space gap, or however the name which will stick at the end. So that this gap will be also in all blocks that group other blocks. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the category block got an enhancement by supporting now only top level categories. So when you use the categories, you can change that. The column block has now the specification that you can actually have specifications for the blocks within the columns, so which were allowed and which are not and all that, and also how they are placed into the columns. There's a common content block, and that now has typography, color, and padding support. And then there were quite a few changes to the cover block, and it has now the allowed blocks and template block attributes for the cover blocks. So you, as a developer and theme developer, can now determine what the cover block can entail. That's through the block JSON, right? From the cover block, or is it through theme, or both?
I guess this is from the through the block attributes. So you can define that. So for instance, when you are using a block pattern, then you can encode that and you can set a lock now for the block. So once that is like combined together, the user won't have a way to change that. So you have a very, very nice control of how those blocks will behave after they are inserted.
Yeah. I just looked at the PR and it's through the blocks register block type array there. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, that's something that a lot of theme developers and plugin developers are really worried about, is how they can control and lock things down, especially when you do a development for a larger editor team. Yeah, so they are guided through their editing experience there.
Yeah, I think those APIs will mature soon, because we have so many use cases for that these days, and those features are added. And as soon as we have enough blocks to make a good decision, then this API will be improved. And this is how it all happens in the block editor.
Right.
Yeah. So for the features, we now also have a new embed integration. It's for Pinterest. That was missing, as it looks.
Yeah, and it was also added to the core. So the embed provider is also available for classic editor, not only the block. For the block editor, it's a new variation on the embed block. Yeah, I just want to go back just a little bit to the cover block. Okay. There were also a few changes and gradual changes to the opacity for background colors. So now you could have a background color or background image, and then the opacity of that, you were really in control of it. There are dim ratios, and you have controls over that. And that's a really good way to, when you create more creative block patterns. What we have seen, for instance, from Tammy Lister, she has a few block patterns. The pattern inspiration, and this is a place where I go when I need a little bit inspiration, is she had a background and then an image on it and then a duotone attached to it and made that a block pattern. And it's really fascinating what you can do with these tools already in terms of your visual layouts on your post or pages. So yeah, just saying that. Yeah, it's now in the plugin available now. So featured image got more spacing controls for the image block, and also the heading. Well, we talked about this, but what I missed talking about the heading was that it also now auto generates heading anchors. So you can, when you create subheaders, you can get a link to those subheaders that you can use, not only to drive people to and say, okay, check out this little header there or section of my blog post or of my page. It also enables the finishing the table of content block that has been in process
on hold
for quite a while until that feature is actually available. And I read a little bit through the PR, and if there is already an anchor, it will not override it. So in your existing pages and posts, yeah, don't worry that some automation is now make your work redundant or make your work more. It only creates new anchors and not override existing anchors.
Yes, just to ensure that every heading has an anchor that is already rendered on the front end. so you can use those as URLs, but also you can provide your own name. I guess so.
As
the last version I saw, it was working this way. Mm-hmm. So it's very flexible.
Yeah, and I really love that. But sometimes you have longer blog posts, but then you only want to kind of share one paragraph of it or one quote or kind of put a heading on it, and you get an auto-generated anchor for it.
Yeah, it's also sometimes you have to write a very long heading and then just auto-generates out of the text how the heading is, the anchor, how it's named. So it's also very, very good experience for the user because they don't have to type the same, almost the same name again.
Right, yeah. So there are some other things I wanted to just point out. The post comment author now add link settings and to the blog support as well as the comment date. So those are also link. I always like links. Yeah, it's kind of...
because you can link both, right?
Yeah.
For the author, that links to the website that is provided in the user's profile, and for the date, that's just the link to the comment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to the comments of that date. Yeah. And then there are some. Now we come to the more theme-related blocks. The site, well, the comment author and date are already important for the theme. The site logo received some improvements, and now there is a basic example in the site logo block. So there was some interesting back and forth on the reset button and the replace the menu dropdown and then back and forth. But it works now really nicely. All this back and forth had the benefit that everybody who worked on it now has a better handle on how the site logo works and how it can be added to the navigation block or to the header block and header template part. All right.
And there are also changes to the social links or social icons. I don't know what's the name, but the titles use both versions. And so the change there is that you can now set the top and bottom margin for those icons. And the other change, there's some changes to the styling. So when you have only logos, you don't display any text there, then it looks better than before.
Yeah, it got a Polish.
A Polish flag.
A Polish lamp. It's now in Polish. Yeah. No, of course, we're making a pun here from Polish and Polish. It's a Polish logo style. But sometimes when you travel in multiple languages, these things kind of pop up at you at very different times. So the global styles, and they're now called styles. So in language in 5.9, you will see that everybody's only talking about site styles, not the global styles. But the big change is now that the child theme JSON file will be merged with the parent theme JSON file. And that is important because a lot of people think about, so when you always have to build a child theme, so when the parent theme gets an update, things are not overwritten, and you can change some of the settings in the theme JSON file in your child theme. So it applies the styles on top of those from the parent theme, and you can so the parent space is maintained. Yeah, if no theme JSON file is present in the child theme, all the parent styles are applied, or the other way around, because you can actually use the theme JSON file in classic themes. So it works.
Yes.
Yeah. If you have a classic theme, you can create a child theme and then put a theme JSON file in it to configure all the settings for the block editor. So that's a very good enhancement. And I'm glad that it will make it into 5.9.
Yeah, because theme JSON file is about the styling, and to specify that a given theme is a block theme, you need to provide templates in a special folder. That's the distinction. It might be a bit confusing even for me, wrapping a head around that is a bit hard.
Yeah, I don't think that is the last word yet spoken in on the parent theme, the child theme, because we really need to consider that this is the first version where a block theme is actually in core, or as a default theme in core, and the handling of a block theme will be in core with 5.9, but it's the first version. And as you listeners probably have already noticed, there's always the minimal, a first version to get the functionality right and then iterate fast on it. And that's what's going to happen also with the block themes and the handling of it in terms of extensibility and all backwards compatibility. So are we through the enhancements?
We can move to, you know, we are not done yet.
All right.
We can move to patterns, and the big change there is now a new category with featured patterns that come from the pattern directory that is hosted on WordPress.org. So that's a big change, because now the patterns that are submitted by the community, they are somehow, I don't know, selected to this special category, and every website that is using the block editor will be able to show them on the list, and user will be able to insert them directly from the editor.
From the inserter, yes, yes. And there's also a change in the query loop block, where the number of items per page for the default block has actually increased. So it's not only 6, but you can change that as well. The query loop block pattern. It's one of my most favorite block pattern, because that's where you show your
the query
visitors.
Loop.
Yeah, it's so extensible and it's so flexible that you can really make a lot of different pages out of it and showcase your content. Yeah, so the block editor also got animations for the insertion point and drop zones and other elements. So the drag and drop improvements have been merged there. I didn't see anything. Well, the template editor itself, it comes totally, it's out of experimentation for the third version, I think. And it got a lot of different updates there. As one of them is to now handle template areas with the template inspector and have more options for them. And the other one is there were just some cosmetic items, and now it uses a dark background. But if you have a light background on your theme, yeah, you hardly see it. But it's going to be the background of the editor is not white, it's actually black. I don't know if it makes a difference. Yeah, and then the components, there were quite a few updates on the storybook. That's a place where you can look up components and see their attributes and how they change, and you can kind of copy and paste code from there. So that's just good that there are some nice updates there.
Yeah, I also noticed a change in the navigation block that is going out of experimental phase. So on the mobile screen, use that block, you would see the hamburger icon. So now the change is that you can also enforce that on a desktop or the wider screens, you can also always show this hamburger. It's something that, for instance, some 2020 family of teams, they use that feature very often. So that's an interesting change too.
Yeah,
that user can use now.
Absolutely, yeah. And then there are some, the great block package got some changes, and one of them is really helpful for people using that to create blocks, as it allows now local directory to pass to a template as a relative path. So you don't have to submit your template to NPM to actually use it in your create block. You can just have it in a particular directory on your own machine and reuse it for the next one of your create block feature here. And the Pascal case, you can now have a Pascal case slug on your template strings as well.
So that changes mostly for using PHP classes, so it follows the convention. So you can just use that to start your class name and then provide the rest of the class name if you are using a PHP file in your templates. So it's those two features are related to each other. If you are using those templates and you can build local folder with templates that generate PHP files. And I think there's one more thing I wanted to mention. Mm-hmm. So the one is last time we talked that for the navigation block, there was a change that allowed using a slash inserter. So you to make inserting a certain type of blocks easier in the navigation menu. And this feature was extended now for the heading, list, and quad blocks. So for the heading, it looks quite funny because if you are using H2, then the font is big, but you are able quickly to insert a different block from that as well. So sometimes it could be useful to do this type of operation. Maybe in the future, the slash insert might support a different type of action. So I saw some explorations that could use machine learning. So it could, for instance, Siri or Cortana, just to understand what you want to say. And you could start typing, insert a heading find me a pattern with a certain characteristics. So I'm looking forward how this slash inserter will evolve now that it can be used in more places.
Yeah, the slash inserter was actually it has been around since the beginning of Gutenberg, and it has a few nice for the post editor, but I didn't realize that you actually have to enable it also for the other screens. And I saw that PR in the list and I didn't highlight it because I didn't understand it quite what the significance was this time around. But now, thank you for explaining it to me. I also know that some of the tools that deal with the second brain editing, like Rome Research or LogSec, they use the slash command also to add a to-do list item or to add a to-do list to a certain date and or just kind of reference date. So it's, there's a lot that can be done with slash inserters, with slash commands. And for the heading, if you use it in your post, just a little secret from the treasure chest of Birgit's secrets. If you say slash H3, it actually gives you a heading 3. So you don't have to control the heading through the block toolbar or H5. Yeah, you can do that as well. Now we're going back to our changelog here. Then there were 42 bug fixes in that release, and I'm pretty sure there are quite a few coming up also in the next release. There was actually none that really stand out where I said, okay, that took a long time to fix, or that makes it now much easier or something like that.
It's definitely in recent releases, we have so many new features and enhancements that show up that it's really hard to find a bug fix that stand out. And usually those are small things or something that is a bit of improvement. It's not sometimes it's hard to classify, and many of them are related to how it displays visually inside the editor, because with so many features you sometimes miss something less important.
I think in total they make a really improvement on the quality of life of the experience, the workflow. But when you isolate them to just one line item, then it's not that clear. So how the improvement really affects a normal user in the block editor. So, but I'm always looking out for those items that are kind of significant in that area, but I didn't see one in this one in that regard. So.
Yeah, just in the meantime. So during the go, no go meeting that was held 2 weeks ago, Helen Husandi, she mentioned that the biggest difference for her is that the editor that was a couple months back feels less buggy in like the experience overall has improved, not because something significantly changed, but because those small interactions has been improved a lot. And the difference between what you see in the blog editor and on the front end doesn't differ so much. And that's the biggest change. This is where those little bug fixes come from. And as you pointed out, in isolation, they don't seem significant, but the amount of work done is really important because it improves the first impression for the user.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for pointing it out. Yeah. I heard Helen saying that as well. Also in the discussion that we had with her and Mark Jaquith and Riyad Benguela, yeah, that the blog editor has come such a long way now that the structure, the underlying structure, as well as the look and feel and the usage. Yeah. So we come to a documentation. There were 21 changes in documentation. Of course, some of the things with new features comes new documentation. And there is now a section on how to use the theme and JSON schema that we mentioned above, and also update the block categories and the clarifying documentation about the inner blocks orientation prop. And what else? There are some package documentation updated, and quite a few components didn't have any README files. And that made it hard to have the automated documentation flow that goes from the GitHub repo into the WordPress site, meta site on the make blog a little harder. And when the information is not in the code, it can't be in the documentation either. So there's quite a few efforts there to bring the information out of the components into the documentation there.
Yeah, to fill the missing gaps, because there are still a few. However, it has improved significantly in the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm. And that also covers the create block documentation that has been updated with the new features.
And there were also code quality related changes, and there are 17 of them. And as usual, it's related to maintenance, bring some libraries up to date or replace some libraries. So one of the works is to replace tiny color library with color D, which is more up to date and it's a better fit for the project. And also part of the change to the color picker that had some refactorings and it looks a bit different than before.
Right. Do you know why the color picker was changed? Was it, I think we discussed it, but we both were kind of
I still don't know.
Accessibility. Yeah, okay.
But yes, and performance and also flexibility of the new library.
Okay, and then there were some 11 changes to the tooling or for tools. And these are way over my head anyway, but then I only marvel at the nice naming there, which is now we have flaky text. Tests, flaky tests.
Yeah. So there is a little funny. There is a tool. No, so maybe not tool. So when end-to-end tests fail, there is a special script that processes those failures and it retries. The test. If the test succeeds on the second or third attempt, then there is an issue opened called flaky tests, and it just reports what went wrong. So someone could look at that and try to fix the failure or decide that it's not an issue and close that one. So that's the backstory for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very interesting. Yes. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah, I think we reached to the end of the list and we can now talk about what's in active development or discussed in the community.
Right. And,
I think you wanted to talk about project updates that people shared on the core editor meeting on Wednesday, which is very related to the upcoming feature freeze.
Right. And first, this was about the navigation block and navigation editor. You might remember, dear listeners, that the navigation editor screen won't make it into 5.8, and the navigation block has been scaled down a bit to for that, and the architecture of the navigation block has changed a little bit, because now it will be saved as a the storage of it has been changed, and there are some it's underlying architecture, and it's interesting that it's very late in the process for these to come in, but the team feels quite confident to get this through it.
So are you talking about the idea to use a new post type called WP underscore template? No,
yes.
WP underscore navigation to store the navigation.
Yeah, that PR has already been merged. So it's not in this version, but it's in the next version. So it can get into 5.9. And it allows the same navigation items to be used in multiple places on a site, but with the potential to have each a different visual presentation. So that's kind of how they approach it. So you could have a menu in your header and footer, but if you use it on a subsite and just want to point it out, you can style it differently, but you use the same links. You only have one place to edit that. So, and then with it comes also the facilitation of the WP navigation area as a part of the facilitating that from the classic menus. So it preserves its nature on theme switch. That's one of the hard things that are now in work, that theme switching should not make you have to redo your menus and your navigation from the website. And that's part of the feature parity with the existing one. And then here have some transforms on the links, and they split up the URL and the text in the link, so it can have a rich preview as well. So that's what's from the navigation editor reports. Yeah, do you want to talk about the template editor or the styles?
For the template editor?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the template editor is a template part editor is the thing that had a lot of iterations, like the focus mode, which displays this template part inside, like removes everything that is not the template part from the view, so you can focus on that. And yeah, it seems like it's almost there, and it will be moved out of the experimental phase, and you will land in WordPress 5.9.
Yes.
And then, did I miss anything there?
No, there was a tracking issue. That's actually what there's linked there to the template focus mode by Matthias, and he had a quite a few issues for the design issues that need to be merged before it all comes together. And it's the to how the template editor, template part editing should work. And the overview issue has also been closed. So all the things that were in the works have actually been merged, and this overview issue has been closed.
Yeah, when we talked about improvements to the template part editor last time, it looked pretty solid for me. So I'm not surprised that it has been closed since then. And also it's very interesting that this navigation will have its own post type. The same applies for the template part. In some ways they could use this template part for navigation, but I think it's conceptually different. That's why they decided that should be a different post type.
Yeah, I think so, that it's a single purpose of concern. Yes. I think it's a better approach than mixing things. Just because they're technically similar, it doesn't have to be that they are same. We have a similar discussion actually between reusable blocks, block patterns, and template parts. Yeah, and to figure out the differences and what's the same, because the end users will have that question as well. And there is a big discussion on how to rename the reusable blocks and to what name, but it's not, I don't think it come to an end yet, so we can link it in the show notes. I think it's ongoing right now for 2 weeks, but any opinion is welcome, and every reasoning is welcome in terms of how this should be called. But what I also learned about in that discussion was that there is definitely quite a confusion, or it's not particularly clear the purpose of each of them. So reading through that has quite a bit of said, that can't be, or, oh, that's why Epiphany is in there. So I also read another discussion somewhere, I forgot. That's my life now. I read something and then I forget where I have. And when I read it, I bookmark it, but then I still, if I don't know where the bookmarks are, yeah, I'm at the same place. So I have not yet found a solution to it, but I will muddy through. Yeah, Jorge posted an update on the global standards in the meeting, and they have a PR that actually proposed a new color palette editor. So it makes multiple color palettes from different sources available to the user. And that's actually also something that came out of the go, no-go meeting when the team in there was thinking about how can this be improved or what's the next step for it, when they showed the color sidebar for a template editing screen. I think it was something that Matt Mullenweg just had blurted out, said, oh, isn't there a website out there like colorpalette.com where you can select different color palettes, and wouldn't it be cool if we could get it in? So I'm definitely looking through those PRs and see how they are progressing there, or what they're suggesting there.
And yeah, it's a similar cases for the Patterns Explorer and a new way to browse them. It would be in a model, so the exploration that is in a very advanced phase now just provides an icon that you can click in the sidebar, and it just moves all the patterns to the model, and you have a almost full screen to see them. And so that should help to pick your pattern, like spend more time and have better preview of them.
Yeah,
not limited by the very narrow space that the sidebar gives you.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's a big exploration now, because most page builders have that, third-party page builders, and also early layout block plugins collections had some of the full modal windows to select full page patterns. When you come to full page patterns, you need a bigger space to display them. The sidebar preview is definitely not going to be enough. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's in the discussion. What else do we have? Yeah, one of preparing for the WordPress 5.9, the technical leads for the editor, release leads, Robert Anderson and George Mamardashvili, are conducting an audit of experimental APIs of the various Gutenberg packages that need to come out of experimental to be merged with core. And they have a one issue list that's 35920 is the issue number. And it's a list of quite a few experimental methods and APIs, but only a few of them. And I know there are a few developers who actually created the features already preparing those to come out of experiment. They're working on that. This is just the issue list with all the experimental methods. And when you go through the comments, you'll see which one will already in work in progress to be bring out of
Just wanted to explain what this experimental status means for those methods. So as long as they are experimental, then there is no guarantee that this method will have the same signature. So plugin developers or team developers, they use it and at their own risk. It happens, but those I know that people who use that, they pay attention to ensure that as long as it's stabilized, they update their code so it still works as they should. And yeah, so the idea is that as soon as you change the name and remove this __ experimental prefix, the method gets integrated with the blog editor handbook and all the like method name, description, params, they get included there so people can easily find them later. So it's just the way to ensure that the Gutenberg plugin can move very fast and check out if a given API makes sense and use that with core usually with the block editor or with the block library of core for core blocks. And it works pretty nice. However, the list of experiments has grown over time, and probably it would be a good idea to soon take a step back and clarify what's the future of some of those APIs.
Will be, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Speaking coming out of experimental, the new gallery block will come out of experimental for 11.9. It was a little bit delayed because one found that there was a problem with the mobile app. If you have a lower mobile app than 18.2, there was some content loss there. So now there is a little notification on the gallery block placeholder that if you are on a different mobile version, make sure that you don't use it. So you're not encountering any content loss. That's the only, from the developers, is the estimation that by the time 6.0 comes around, the people that are on lower mobile apps have upgraded by then, and it's not an issue anymore, but it's just for this release. But it definitely will come to 11.9 for everybody else. Yeah, and so I'm really looking forward to that, because having image blocks within your gallery is so much easier to handle, or so much better concept than having images that don't have all the features like it has now. And they also have, so the developers, Glenn Davis mostly spearheaded that effort. He took care of quite a few backwards compatibility issues that happened with existing galleries that are normally not touched, but when you open up the post again, it will be automatically changed. And we have not finished our outreach to the plugin developers yet to alert them to that change. But most of them that we have contacted, about 15 of them, 80% actually knew about it and had already adopted their gallery extensions. All right.
That's great to hear that people are following the progress on the blog.
I think a big part is they're listening to our podcast. I'm just saying that now. So, yeah, and that is pretty much the end of our show. I don't have anything else that I wanted to talk about. Do you have anything, Jagosz?
No, and other than the usual stuff, like we are waiting for reviews, and send us your comments. What do you like about the show? What you don't like, so we could improve. That would be always appreciated. And you can also contact us on Twitter, like tweet at us or DM us. My Twitter handle is GZIOLO. And your Birgit is BPH. It's very short and sweet. How did you manage to find this one so short?
Well, I signed up in 2008, so yeah. Very early. Yeah, but I get a lot of street cred from the youngins that I have a 3-digit Twitter handle.
Yes.
So we also have an email address where you can send your questions and suggestions. And the news, it's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com, changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. And this is it for me. I wish you all a great weekend. And next week, when you listen to that, we're all looking forward to WordPress 5.9 testing. And yeah, this is it. Until the next time. Bye-bye.
Yes, that was a great one. Thank you, Birgit. And thank you, our listeners. See you.
Bye.